Before we get started, just want to say, because we sometimes have little ones who get restless about this time of the night, and since we are recording, there is a sound system on in the Faith Food Store, so it might be a good idea, parents, if you want to take your youngster in there. As a matter of fact, Susan, where are the toys to occupy them?
In the back corner.
Okay, in that back corner there, there are some goodies for the children to occupy themselves with. So if your youngster gets restless, we do invite you to go in. The curtains are open, and you can just see all that's going on, and you can hear the message. You won't miss out on a thing. Praise the Lord. I came in tonight, and Charles said, oh my goodness, she's got all those Bibles. We're going to get preached at. No, you won't get preached at tonight. Praise the Lord. But why don't you open your Bible to John, the 15th chapter. And as Pastor Naomi shared with you earlier, the title for the message tonight is Stir Up the Gift That Is Within You. Stir up the gift that is within you. Every single born-again believer has within them a gift. God has imparted His very nature, and He has given you gifts. He has given you things that nobody else can do but you. Because you are part of the body of Christ, and we are members fitly joined together, and the thing that you have been anointed to do or been called to do or the gift that's on the inside of you, if you neglect to do it, then the body of Christ will not be completed. Amen? We will not function as we're supposed to if you don't stir up that gift that is within you. See, it's not just for the fivefold ministry, the pastor, prophet, evangelist, teacher, and apostle. It is for every born-again Christian, and you have a gift in you. It just has to be stirred up. I'm going to be reading from the Amplified. You follow along with me in whatever translation you have, beginning with the first verse in John, the 15th chapter. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit, that stops bearing, He cuts away, trims off, takes away, and He cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. You are cleansed and pruned already because of the word which I have given you, the teaching I have discussed with you. Dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. Live in me, and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in, vitally united to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much abundant fruit. However, apart from me, cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. If a person does not dwell in me, he is thrown out as a broken off branch and withers. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire, and they are burned. If you live in me, abide vitally united in me, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. When you produce much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show and prove yourselves to be true followers of mine. I have loved you just as my Father has loved me. Abide in my love, continue in his love with me. If you keep my commandments, if you continue to obey my instructions, you will abide in my love and live on in it, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandment and live on in his love. I have told you these things that my joy and delight may be in you, and that your joy and gladness may be full measure and complete and overflowing. Amen? John 15:1 is telling us about the importance of the vital connection between the vine and the branch. Now, the new birth, which we all received when we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, provides a once-for-all transaction. You can't get born again but one time. Okay? People go off into the altars and they go back and they repeat the sinner's prayer and they do a lot of things contrary to the word of God. But it's not easy to lose your salvation. Once you are born again, you are born again. Now, you may have some problems growing in the things of the Lord, but you've got to really work at it. You've got to work a lot harder at losing your salvation than you did at getting it. Why? Because God loves you so much, and the devil just can't come and steal it from you. He lies to you and tell you, you old ugly thing, you, because you did what you did, you're not saved. But, I mean, he's a liar. He's the father of lies. So anything that he tells you, you know, can't be true anyway. So just stand up in the face of whatever it was that you did, repent real quick, like, and say, Father, I'm sorry I did that, and then poke your tongue at the devil and tell him, shut up in Jesus' name. It's written, okay? I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So the new birth provides a once-for-all transaction. It imparts to us a new nature, but there is then a continuing process that we must get involved in. This continuing process is necessary in order for us to arrive at the goal, which is for us spiritual freedom. That's exactly what we're looking for in continuing in God. Think of it this way. Jesus, according to the way John 15 is written, Jesus would be like the main artery on the inside of you. Think of yourselves as the veins coming out from the main artery, okay? The artery and the veins together give life to the rest of the body. And if you are abiding in the vine and the vine is abiding in you, you're continuing in his words, then what he's doing is supplying you with the life flow that's going to go out to each one of us and minister to mankind, not just the body of Christ. Because as my husband pointed out earlier this morning, Jesus did not die for Christians. He did not die for the saved and the born again. Because until he died, there were no born again. There were people who believed on him, but they still did not have eternal life. That did not come until he was crucified. So, just as continuing is vital after physical birth, so it is after spiritual birth. Now, it helps to be born, you know, into this world. But it really doesn't profit you very much if you decide to stop breathing as soon as you're born. I mean, you are dead. That's it. Kapoop. Over. Nothing. Okay? Just as it is important to continue after the physical birth, continue doing something, continuing to breathe, okay? Continue to do a lot of things. So it is after the spiritual birth. The word is essential to the spiritual birth, just like the breathing is to the natural birth. Many believers, notice, many believers are still floundering in the state of infancy after the fact that ample provision has been made for maturity and usefulness in the kingdom of God. There's no reason for it, but they do. There is an explanation for it, but no real good reason for it. Newborn babies come into this world and they are in a struggle. I mean, they have a struggle and they are straining at trying to learn to adjust to their new environment. You know, a baby just doesn't come here knowing how to run the 100-yard dash. It doesn't come here knowing how to feed itself. It doesn't come here knowing how to change its diapers or do it. It doesn't even come here knowing how to be quiet. You're talking about somebody needs to wait on. Well, they need to learn how. They have to learn everything because they have not had to do anything where they were. Everything was being done, you know, just curl up and wait for 288 days or whatever long it takes. You know, I mean, everything. They're being fed. They don't have to worry about diapers being changed, nothing. So suddenly to come out, and the first thing that happens to them, the first shocker in this whole world, is somebody turns them upside down and whack them on their bottom. What a way to start off a life, you know. I mean, I suppose if the baby had a choice, they'd probably say, who needs this? Put me back where I came from. But it doesn't work that way. In fact, most mothers will say, no, do what you want to with it, but don't put it back. 9 months was long enough. So new babies struggle and strain to learn how to adjust in their new environment. But new baby Christians also have to do that. They do not automatically excel in their Christian life. When I got born again, when you got born again, you probably thought, especially if somebody had been selling you on the idea of how great God is and all, you thought when you got born again, boy, I'm home free. No more problems. I've got it made. And less than 24 hours after you got born again, Satan came out. He used to shoot his cap pistols at you. Now he came out with his cannons. And you didn't know what to do. The first thing you thought, you didn't get born again. That's the first thing he tells you, you know, that you really don't have it. But praise God, you have it. But just like the new baby has to struggle in the natural world, new Christians have to do some things in order to have a successful life. Here, it is not automatic. And don't you tell anybody, and don't let anybody tell you that it's automatic, okay? You have to continue in the vine. We have to learn how to walk, to talk, and conduct ourselves in both the physical and the spiritual aspects of life. Now, turn with me to Isaiah, the first chapter. Keep your marker in John 15, because we're going to be coming back there several times tonight, but we're going to be moving out to several other places. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 says, come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Verse 19, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But verse 20, but if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. He's saying, come on, let's talk about this. I'll tell you. That's why if we listen to Jesus and say what Jesus said, if we keep looking at Jesus and do what Jesus did, then we can reason with Almighty God, because we'll be doing what the Word of God says, okay? And he says, if you are willing and obedient to listen to Jesus and say what he says and look to Jesus and do what he does, then you'll eat the good of the land. But if you don't, very clearly, if you refuse, and he says refusing is rebelling. If you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. It pays to reason with Almighty God. Amen? Okay. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Can you picture reason trying to out-talk God? I mean, when he says, come, let us reason together, what he's really saying to us is, come on, get in agreement with my word and do it my way and you won't have any problem. Can you imagine going up trying to tell God, God, why don't you come on and do it my way? And we couldn't find our way out of a spiritual paper bag soaking wet with holes in it. You know, some of you have been in that bag, huh? Welcome to the club. I've been there too. Come, let us reason together. He's saying, come, get in line with my word. And when you do that, you talk my language, and I can talk to you, and together we can get something done. And you will be the beneficiary of the whole thing. Okay? We can't do anything that's going to benefit God except obey him. That benefits him, because then his man gets brought back to him. But he says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Now, if you be willing and obedient, we always add, God is able as well as willing, okay? We have to add obedience. He says, if you be willing. Well, quite often we read in the scripture about God being willing to do things. God plus ability gets the job done. Us willing plus obedient gets the job done. Amen? I mean, we can be able and still not be obedient to do it, and nothing is going to happen for us in the right way. So God's ability plus his willingness gets things done, but our willingness plus obedience gets things done. See, God can't be disobedient. I mean, he said the whole thing. He laid it all out. How can he be disobedient? Each baby born into the world quickly learns that doing it mom and dad's way has some benefits. How many of you had to learn the way I had to learn that it pays to obey mama? Mm-hmm. Most of you. Okay. Very few of you came here automatically obeying your parent. You found out it was a lot less on your rear. A lot less painful to just go ahead and do it their way, because for the most part, if you had one like I have, she didn't back down so easy. You did it her way. You know, I run across parents quite often who says, I just can't manage my 2-year-old. You know, I just don't know what to do with him. I don't know what to do with her. And I always have, and I know it's not of the Lord, but I always have this urge on the inside to say, he or she ought to stand on a stool with a short stick and beat you upside the head. That's what he ought to do. But I don't tell them that, you know. It's very difficult for me to understand how a grown-up can't manage or handle a 2-year-old, a 10-year-old, or a 20-year-old if they're still living in your house. Okay? I mean, it really boils down to, you, if you're footing the bill, then hey, you give the orders. Okay? Girlfriend of mine told me this morning, she says, my sons stayed out all night last night, and I couldn't get them to come to church today. My head didn't compute that. Because when mine stay out all night long, wherever they stay, that's where they're going. Back to. You know, there won't be no home to come to. That's really, really very simple. There will be no home to come to. Okay? You better come home. If you live there, you better come home. Now, if you're just visiting, you can do what you want to do. Praise the Lord. So it does pay to learn to obey mom and dad. We had a young man... Bless his heart. He came by the office for prayer. And we got him baptized in the Holy Spirit. But he wanted to go to California. He did not want to listen to his mother. As a matter of fact, he said that his mother was demon possessed. We found out that he just wanted to do what he wanted to do. Well, we prayed with him and we pointed out to him, being 15 years old, he could not do what he wanted to do. He had to go back home and obey his parents, because his mother, whatever she told him to do, even if it wasn't right, okay, he could pray and ask God to straighten her out, but he still, it was his responsibility to obey her. We got a call from him the other day, and he said, I'm in the hospital. And we said, what are you? What are you doing in the hospital? And he said, I locked my mama out of the house. And she put me in the psychiatric ward. She put me in the psychiatric ward. He says, you know, I think I ought to start obeying my mother. Well, we just stretched out and we said, you're right, son. We think, well, we told him that the week before. And if he had listened to us, he'd have saved himself a week in the psychiatric ward at the hospital. He was lucky. He only got put in the psychiatric ward. I can't imagine somebody locking me out of my own house. Talking about hoping that the Spirit of the Lord will rise up big in me. The agape love better take over in a hurry. Praise God. But anyway, he's coming out tomorrow. He called yesterday and said they're letting him out tomorrow. And he has decided to go home and obey his mother. That's learning it the hard way. Each Christian must examine for himself the truth of God's word, and with that, the Holy Spirit will help them make some choices. Now, every time you find something in the word of God, there are choices to be made. Choices like, if God said it, that settles it, and I believe it. That's a choice. If God said it, See, it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. It's already settled because he said it. God said it. That settles it. It behooves you to believe it. But you know, it's still settled whether you believe it or not.
Amen.
If I am willing first to listen to what God has to say, and then I am willing to continue in what God has to say, and then become willing to decide to obey what God has to say. That's three different steps. You got to hear what he has to say first. Then you got to be willing to continue in it. But you know, there are people who have their nose in the Word of God constantly, have not made a commitment yet to obey it. You've got to decide to obey what you are continuing in that you've heard. Amen? You've got to be willing to decide to obey what God has to say. Then we will have the benefits of the promises of God. Now, there are untold thousands, perhaps millions of people who have problems with understanding the benefits of Almighty God. Open your Bible. They just don't believe that God wants them to have any benefits. And I just like using the Word of God not to personally attack them, but just to reassure myself that what I believe is for real. Okay, turn to Psalms 68. To me, it is so exciting to believe that God wants me to prosper and to benefit me. Psalms, the 68th chapter and the 19th verse, and let's read it together. I'll wait until you get there because it's so good, and if you don't have it underlined in your Bible, underline it. Put asterisks. Do whatever you do with it. 19th verse of Psalm 68. Blessed be the Lord. Read it with me. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. He daily not just gives you a few things of what you need. He loads you up with benefits. Amen? Not the other way around. Not extracting and taking away from you. He loads you. He gives you. He loads you up with benefits. Okay, it says out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. Turn to Psalms 116. David was so blessed of Almighty God. God had done so many things for him that he got around to the 12th verse of Psalm 16 and said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? He's saying, Lord, you have blessed me so much. What can I give back to you? What can I do for you? Well, the only thing that we can give God is our obedience. That's the only gift that we can give Almighty God. He's got everything else. He loads us up with benefits daily. And we do, after a while, we have so much, we're benefiting so much from it, that we say, Lord, what can I do for you? But the promises of God, the things that David was receiving, the things that you're receiving, the things that you're receiving and I'm receiving, the promises of God are not for everybody. Don't look at me like that. Some of you looking at me like, what is she saying? The promises of God, not for everybody. The promises of God are only for the willing and the obedient.
Amen.
If you are not willing and you are not obedient, you will not eat the fat of the land, the good of the land, okay? The promises of God are for those who are willing and obedient. The benefits of the believer who are the willing and obedient ones comes from doing it Dad's way. That's how we get the benefits, simply from doing it Dad's way. Everything that he has promised us is conditional when we do it his way. Amen? Choosing Dad's way is never designed to restrict or to hinder us. I'm so glad about that. Choosing to do it God's way, and for those of you who don't know who Dad is, he's God, okay? Choosing his way, it was never designed to restrict or to hinder us. It was always designed and is always designed to set us free and to bless us. Everything from the very beginning, God did to bless us and to benefit us, not to restrict us and not to hinder us, okay? God's whole plan and his whole desire for his man is to bless him and to prosper him. And when I say man, I'm talking about man and woman. God's whole plan and his desire, his pleasure for his creation is to bless and to prosper. You'll find it throughout the entire Bible. Now, let's turn over to 1 Peter, the second chapter. And the reason that some of his creation is not receiving their blessings is really very plain, very clear in the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, tells us when we got born again what we should be doing, first of all. It says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. Why? That you may grow thereby. So God's Word was designed that even the milk of it, if you are a brand new baby Christian, is supposed to cause you to grow. I mean, it's just made that way, okay? If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Christ Jesus. He's talking about newborn babies here. New baby Christians, okay? He says, desire, get a hunger in your heart as a born again, brand new baby for the sincere milk of the Word of God. And that's something that God can't put in there for you. That's something that you've got to have. You've got to decide God's Word is going to have priority and first place. You've got to get to the point. You've got to make a decision that you're going to train yourself to look to God's Word for the answers in every situation. And I tell you what, if God's Word does not satisfy, if God's Word doesn't work, don't turn to anything else, because it sure won't work. Amen? Don't use God's Word as a last resort. Use it as the first resort, and you won't need any other resorts, because that'll cover and take care of everything possible. All right, turn to 1 Corinthians 3. I'm going to read that one, I believe, from the Amplified. You can follow along. 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, beginning with the first verse, says, however, brethren, I could not talk to you as to spiritual men, but as to non-spiritual men of the flesh, in whom the carnal nature predominates, as to mere infants in the new life in Christ, unable to talk yet. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not yet strong enough to be ready for it. But even yet ye are not strong enough to be ready for it, for ye are still unspiritual, having the nature of the flesh under the control of ordinary impulses. For as long as there are envying and jealousy and wrangling and factions among you, are ye not unspiritual and of the flesh? Behaving yourself after a human standard and like mere unchanged men. Paul is saying here, as a babe in Christ, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you can grow. But here he was very dissatisfied with the Corinthian church, because he's letting them know that you're not babies anymore in terms of how long you've been in Christ. But the things that you're still doing are indications to me that you are not growing on the Word. So evidently you are not spending time in the Word, because the Word of God is designed so that even the very milk of it will cause you to grow. He says, I can't even begin to give you the meat of the Word yet, because you're not even operating, you're not even growing on the milk part of it. So you get a hold of the milk and start to grow, and then you'll be in a position to receive. He's calling the people who remain babes in Christ unspiritual. He's saying that you're carnal, born again, heaven-bound, tongue-talking, Bible-toting believers. But He's saying that if you don't grow on even the milk of the word, the crumbs from the table, if you will, then you're not in a position ever to hear. And you know, you can't start feeding it to other people until you start getting the milk. I mean, the meat. You've got to grow on the milk yourself and then graduate over into the meat. And once you do that, then you're in a position to start ministering to other people. Now, there are two words in the Greek for carnal, and I'm not going to give them to you tonight. I'm going to let you look them up. You look them up, okay? Because they have two different meanings. Our spiritual growth and our natural growth operates along the same principles. As babies coming home from the hospital are to be fed milk. However, John Osteen says the milk should be at least strong enough for them to grow on. Now, I wasn't old enough to remember Blue John. Some of you may be, and most of you probably are not. But I believe during the war that Blue John was something that it was like milk, but it was so watered down. Wasn't it Blue John that he said, John Osteen?
He said Blue John.
Yeah, it was so, the milk was so watered down that nobody could grow on it, okay? Well, now you wouldn't bring a baby home from the hospital and give them 4 ounces of water and 2 ounces of milk in there. There's a little better balance than that. So give them at least something to grow on. So as the newborn baby coming home from the hospital must have natural milk that's strong enough for them to grow on, we who are newborn Christians must be exposed enough to the Word of God that we can grow on the milk of the Word, okay? In the natural, there would be cause for great alarm in a home if a baby did not grow on what it was fed. If you brought a baby home from the hospital and you fed that baby whatever you fed, and now you don't bring a newborn baby home from the hospital and give it lamb chops. By the time they're 6 months old, they can gum on it, but you do not bring, you'll have a dying baby on your hand. But you don't give them watered down milk either. There's been a situation in the paper recently where somebody was giving out milk that was too thin and the children were developing all kinds of maladies and sicknesses in their body and all. So just like it's normal to expect a newborn baby coming home from the hospital to grow on the milk that it is fed, it is a normal expectation. It is normal for us to expect members of the body of Christ to be fed the milk of the Word of God and to see them grow, to see their lives changed, okay? Now, if you brought that baby home and that baby didn't start to grow on what you fed it, you would check out every angle, you would check out every possibility, and you'd leave absolutely no stone unturned. Is that true? To find out what's causing this abnormal condition. Why is it that the baby that's being fed is not growing? Yet, we do not demonstrate that same type of concern in the body of Christ. When we see a new person, a new Christian being born again, and we see them doing the same things that they did before they got born again, after they've been in sitting, you know, even under a minimal amount of word. But certainly when you sit under the kind of word that people sit in this church, you expect to see some spiritual giants developing. Amen? Yes. No babies, but we tolerate it. We tolerate it, and it's an injustice to them. It's an injustice to Almighty God, because His Word was designed to cause them to grow. Not to beat them over the head, but to grow and to develop, okay? So, we need to demonstrate the same kind of concern in the body of Christ for baby Christians when they get born again. Because I believe to God, when He looks at babies that are not brand new converts, He sees them as abnormal. If you've had salvation for the last 10 years and you're still a carnal Christian, I think God probably views that as abnormal as you would view a baby 10 years old still having to have his diapers changed. Think about that. But you know, we need to find out why the babies aren't growing, especially if they're sitting under the Word. Because His Word was designed to cause His creation to grow. It's the only thing that they'll ever grow on. They can't grow on General Hospital and soap and whatever else is on, Dallas, you know, the rest of them. Can't grow on that. The newborn Christian will grow to the degree that they commit to the Word of God, walk in the Word of God, that willingness to, first of all, to listen to it, then to continue in it, and then to obey it. And we have to find out, when we see people who've been born again even for a year, not growing, you know, we need to ease up beside them and find out, what are you really looking for? What are you getting out of the Word of God? And personally, get ourselves involved. One-on-one, the pastors can't do it all. Even the deacons, we don't have enough to go around. But we should demonstrate a same kind of concern that we would if there was someone's baby that we were to care for. And look at Paul says, I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you, and I travail again until, I travail in birth, first of all, for you to be born again, then I travail until Christ be formed in you. No New Testament church on the face of the earth should be satisfied with a membership full of babies. No church, no New Testament church. That's not good. Every church should be a miniature Bible school. Every single church that's in the New Testament in this day and age should be a miniature Bible school where the babies come simply to be trained by the Holy Spirit. You know, we only assist the Holy Spirit. We don't train you. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. We only assist him as he tells us to. Jesus, the perfect head. And how many of you know that Jesus is the perfect head? I mean, no flaws at all, right? Jesus, the perfect head, is not coming for a body with a full-grown arm. Come here, Kim. Come up here a minute. I want to use you in my little demonstration. Now, I'm almost 45. Kim's 45. She's 45, okay? Our birthday is like one day apart. She's the 18th and I'm the 19th of March. Now, can you picture Jesus coming for me with an arm that's full grown, okay, and Kim's legs? Can you just picture that? The arm is longer than the leg. That'd be kind of strange. Thanks, sweetheart. Jesus is not coming for, he's the perfect head. There's no flaws in him at all. So here he's going to come for his body, his bride, right? And the bride's got one full grown arm and an infant's leg. But worse than that, an expanded full chest and toddler's toes. Well, that's exactly what happens with the body of Christ when they don't grow, the babies. That's exactly what it looks like. You know, here, you know, 38. Not me. Don't look at me. Okay. And then got toddler's toes. That kind of body would have spots and wrinkles, to say the least. Okay. But praise God, we can grow on the milk of God's Word. But we're getting the meat here. The word milk in Greek is G-A-L-A. Gala. It means spiritual teaching. Paul is telling them, the newborn babes, he says, you are to desire that. You are to ask for a hunger to rise up big in you so that you can receive the sincere, pure, true, genuine, guileless spiritual teaching of God's Word, which is nourishment of that spiritually rational nature, which acting through the regenerated mind and spirit develops spiritual growth. You got to get a regenerate. There's no point even getting the milk of God's Word if you don't get your nature changed. It won't do you any good. You got to get the nature changed first, okay? Even the milk of God's Word is designed to grow on, it's designed so that we can grow on it. There is not anything that's left out of it that we are in need of, okay? God's Word is not given so that it's impossible to understand. There are people who are going around saying, but I read my Bible and I don't understand. Would you explain this? Would you explain that? What they're telling me when they keep asking for individual Bible classes, and we get phone calls all the time about that. Would you explain this to me? People call up and they'll be reading their Bible and they'll call our office. And would you explain this to me? We said, no. We're not your research. Or where can I find so and so? Well, get you a concordance and look it up. And then go before the Lord and spend time with Him. The Holy Spirit is the teacher, not us. Because we had to get it somewhere. Okay? And we can't call Tulsa every time we've got a question. But I tell you, if we get on our face before the Lord and fellowship with Him and pray in the Spirit, we get some exciting answers. And they're a lot fresher than some of those ones that they give out in Tulsa, because some of those are stale by now. Praise the Lord. Not at Rhema. Those other places out there. Okay. Get that on the tape. Praise the Lord. Okay. God's word is not given so that it's impossible to understand, nor does it require a special class of men and women to interpret it. The character of the word of God is such that the Holy Spirit who gave the word can and will unfold its truth even to young converts. You do not have to be 40 years in the way before you can start understanding the word of God. In fact, if you are 40 years in salvation, not understanding the word of God, you are in the way.
Amen.
You are in the way, and you need to get out of the way and let some of these children who are grabbing a hold of it right away come on by and just surpass you. That's all you are, in the way, if you've been at it that long. The reason some of us have not grown more spiritually, even though salvation occurred many years ago, is due more to the spirit of laziness than it is to the lack of teaching by ministers. Oh, those amens were quiet. Amen goes right there. It's due more to a spirit of laziness than it is to the lack of teaching. You know, we often hear people come to us all the time. Well, my church isn't teaching what you teach. And my pastor, and the first thing we say is, when is the last time you prayed for that man? How long have you prayed for him? And if he never ever taught it, so what? You got a Bible? Go before the Lord and let the Holy Spirit teach you. We know some illiterate people, some uneducated people who have a hold of the word of God that would put an intellectual to shame because they did not get it from a man. They got it from the word of God. And so when they go to a meeting and they hear somebody, where do you think your grandma and grandpa got it from?
All right.
And they had a pretty good hold of it. You're talking about some folks that knew how to live by faith. Some of those old pioneers, glory to God. Because they went before the Lord. They spent time with the Lord. They didn't have anybody to teach them. And you don't have to have anybody to teach you. It's nice. Yes, the fivefold ministry has been placed here for the purpose of perfecting the body by teaching and all. But I can tell you, if you found yourself out in West Jibip, okay, with nobody to teach it to you at all, and you had a Bible, the Holy Spirit's job is the teacher in the earth. And He will teach it to you, okay? So we're not going to accept the lack of teaching by ministers. Now, I'm not trying to excuse ministry's failure to teach the Word of God. I'm not going to even think about doing that. I'm just saying that that's just part of the reason why we have baby Christians, but that is not all of the reason. Because if those individuals made a decision to do what the Word of God tells them to do, and that's pray for all saints, they'd be praying for that minister, and you pray for one long enough, and the Holy Ghost is going to fall on him in such a way that he's going to find himself. See, you don't have to leave those churches. If the Lord hasn't told you to leave your church, don't leave. But don't stay there and be a stumbling block if you're not going to pray for your minister. We don't want anybody in this church that's unwilling to pray for us. Because we can feel the pressure, we can feel the strain when our people forget to pray for us. And we can also tell when they are praying because we come in here and the anointing just flows. I mean, you just have to stand up and open your mouth and it just all pours out. We know the difference. And if you're not praying for your minister, you are doing him an injustice. I don't care how many new cars you buy him for the pastor's anniversary. And how many houses you buy them and any of those other things that you do on those occasions. If you're not praying for the man, you're not giving him the thing that he needs the most. Amen? Okay. Even though we are not being taught the Word of God, the babies are not being taught the Word of God, there has to be a dissatisfaction in them after they're born again. Okay? which is why we were so miserable after we got born again and weren't being taught. There was something on the inside of us that just couldn't be satisfied. We were going to church, we were listening, but we weren't satisfied because on the inside of us, that new nature was reaching out for more of what God intended. We couldn't be satisfied with the milk anymore. And some of us weren't even getting the milk. But praise God, that dissatisfaction on the inside, I'm glad God put it there so that we'd be miserable enough to keep on moving and moving and moving until we finally, you know, what's that song? I just can't be satisfied. Well, you shouldn't be satisfied until you get the whole counsel of God's word. That was what the prophecy, part of the prophecy was tonight. Don't be satisfied until you have the full revelation of what the name of Jesus means. Because that, without that, you just half clothed. Half the power going for you. Most of us wanted the easy way out, and that was to have the minister or the teacher to get up week after week and lay his or her hands on us and pray that, you know, faith would come on us and that the word of God would come on us and just teach us everything we needed to know, and we were just to receive it and do nothing else. No, that's not how God intends it. He said we are to study, S-T-U-D-Y, study to show ourselves approved, not unto man, not to stand up here to find out how well we can pray and how well we can spout out the word of God. Study to show ourselves approved unto him, a workman that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, if it says rightly dividing, then that means that there's a possibility of wrongly dividing it. And you, unless you make a decision to study, you are going to wrongly divide the word of God. Study does not mean just to sit and listen to the man and woman of God. This is another example of seed time and harvest. You may say, how in the world can that be seed time and harvest? If you do not plant the word of God in your heart, if you do not study and meditate, you will not reap the abundance of the word being spoken out of your mouth, which comes out of the heart of man. Amen. You've got to plant it in there first. It is seed time and harvest. If you don't put anything in there that even resembles the word of God, I can tell you in the middle of a crisis, you won't get anything out of there that resembles the word of God. And that's the only thing that blows the devil out the water when you get into a crisis operational atmosphere. Okay? It is not time to study. You can't meditate on the word when the pressure is on you. You meditate on the word when everything's going good. That's when you feed it down on the inside of you, so that when those persecutions that come with the hundredfold return, you just breeze on through them and concentrate and meditate on the hundredfold return. And you, next thing you know, you've passed through the persecution and you don't even know when you got through. I mean, it was so, God was so smooth with it because you weren't meditating on the problem. You were meditating on the benefit there. Amen? You can't hearken diligently to the word of God, which is where the benefits come, if you are just hearing the word. You have to study, 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 and study. You have to train yourselves. You have to make a decision to train yourself that you are going to do more than just hear the word of God. You're going to continue in it and you're going to obey it. I have in my office a sign that says, there are two everlasting gifts that we can give our children. One is roots and the other is wings. There are two everlasting gifts that we can give our children. One is roots and the other one is wings. Now that could, it wasn't authored by God, but it could have been. For if we have our roots in the Word of God, then we are free to fly about and go beyond the limitations that man has placed on us. That was the prophecy this morning, or the interpretation of tongues, that we are to get out there beyond what man says we have the ability to do. I believe it was Pastor Clint that shared that this morning. And when we get rooted and grounded in the Word of God, then we don't have to settle for what the circumstances and conditions are or what people say that's coming down the pike. See, We have a friend who wrote the other day, she's heard the word alive, and she said, I turn on the 6 o'clock news and I set the timer on the oven to come on at 6:40 to remind me that it's 6:45 so I can turn off the bad news and turn on the good news. Amen? I don't even know why anybody wants to listen to that other stuff with the word of God available. Right now I have my cassette player in my bathroom. And every time I go in to wash my face, brush my teeth, whatever I have to go in there for, I've got that tape player on. I am listening to Proverbs over and over again, over and over again. I intend to have Proverbs so down on the inside of me. I mean, the Old Testament. Yeah, I love the New Testament. I've listened to that a lot. But I intend to get the book of Proverbs so far down on the inside of me, because if Solomon was all that wise, I want to find out what the man had to say. Amen? I really do. So if we get rooted and grounded in the Word of God, then we are free to fly out beyond the limitations that man will place on us. God wants that for us. However, if we are not willing and obedient, as verse 19 of Isaiah 1 said, if we refuse and rebel, we shall be devoured by the sword. Or another way to put it would be to say, if we refuse to continue in the Word of God and refuse to continue to have the Word abide in us, then we are really rebelling against the teaching of God's Word, and we shall be destroyed by the fiery darts of the enemy. That's the sword that he's talking about. Because without continuing to grow on God's words, Satan's fiery darts become like a sword to us. And they will penetrate our shield of faith. Because if you are not continuing in the Word of God, you know what your shield of faith is made out of? Bubble gum. And fiery darts will penetrate that. But if you continue in the Word of God, then he can't do it. It pays to come now and reason with God. Do it his way. If you will hearken diligently unto his voice, you shall eat the good of the land. Now, you cannot reason with God with only milk knowledge of his word. If you only have the milk knowledge of his word, you can't reason with him. You got to get the meat before you can sit down and reason with him. Okay? Isaiah 55:8 says, for his thoughts are not our thoughts, neither his ways our ways. They're better. So if you're going to reason with somebody whose thoughts and ways are better than yours, why don't you let them do the talking? And you just do the following. God is heaven-minded. Everything about him is heaven-minded. He doesn't think in terms of the earth at all, the way we think of it. Our thoughts and our ways are more earthbound, or limited, I should say, than should be. Go back to John, the 15th chapter. And I want to show you something in the King James that the Amplified did not say. And I thought it was interesting because I looked in every translation that I had, and King James was the only one that had it this way. Isaiah 15th chapter and the 6th verse, John 15th chapter and the 6th verse says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Notice it says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And who gathers him? Men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, we know that the angel is going to cast Satan into the fire. Men are not going around casting anybody into the fire. So I went to praying about that. I said, Lord, what is that really saying? And what I got in my spirit was, if we do not live in Jesus and in his ways, then we are really sinning, okay? We're either living God's way or the devil's way. There's no middle of the road. You got to do one or the other. It's either God's way or the devil's way. And sin separates us from the life-giving force, which is divine. So when this occurs, we will then soon wither, and men will gather us and cast us into the fire, and we're burned. What he's saying is, if you don't continue in my word and abide in me, human beings that surround you will be the ones to persecute you. They will cause you to have hell right here on earth. Amen? Amen. What the world and people, humans, will put you through if you are not anchored in the Word of God will be somewhat like it would be for you in hell. what it would be like in the fires of hell. Some people are going to experience two hells, one here on earth and one when they get there. Because I tell you, human beings will put you through some changes. They will gather you up if you are not abiding in the Word of God. And they will cast you into the fire, not the fire of hell, but the fire of this world, and that's sometimes worse than hell. One of the reasons that God gave the five, sent the fivefold ministry was to teach people His Word. That was the purpose. There's no reason for a pastor and a prophet and an evangelist, teacher and apostle except for that. Because in the absence of spiritual leadership, people turn from God. And I'm going to start over into this, and as I said, we're not going to finish tonight, but I do want to show you one of the reasons for the fivefold ministry, because turn on over to Exodus 32. We'll probably just get a chance to dip into that a little bit tonight. Exodus, the 32nd chapter, Moses up on the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments from God. And that bunch down there on the ground couldn't wait until he came down. Now, one of the reasons for the fivefold ministry is in the absence of spiritual leadership, people get turned around or they lose their relationship with God. I'll begin with the 32nd verse. With the first verse. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for all this man Moses that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in your ears, of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters. You notice the fellows wore gold earrings. And bring them unto me. And all the people brake the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graven tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. Can you believe this? This was the same bunch that had just been brought out from under the domination of Pharaoh. They saw all the plagues and all the things that happened in Egypt. And here they are after just a short period of time, because Moses went up on the mountain and didn't come right back down. They said, Make us a calf. Now they got that from their years in Egypt. I mean, those people worshipped a little bit of everything, okay? But notice what God says in verse 8 of that chapter. They that turn aside quickly. Well, let's read the 7th verse. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Now I can imagine what God must have felt like. This was the bunch he brought out from under Pharaoh's domination, brought them through the Red Sea. The Ten Commandments hadn't been given to them yet. Moses was up there receiving the Ten Commandments, but the law had been given to them. They had some specific instructions from God as to what they would do, and they were not to worship any other gods. I mean, that was just a no-no. But he says they turn quickly. How many times do we see baby Christians, and even some that are not baby Christians, having just had a great manifestation of God's deliverance power on their behalf, doing something real special for them, and because he's not doing it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, they quickly turn back to the old system of doing things. That's displeasing in the sight of Almighty God. Well, I'm not going to be able to go any further, but I want you to read that. We've got a lot more to go into. But I want to conclude tonight with you turning over to 1 Timothy 4:12. And we're going to use this next week also. But there's some people in in Chronicles and 1 Kings that I want you to see. People who were pleasing in God's sight. People who did things that God wanted them to do and then turn around and blew the whole thing because they did not continue in His Word. It's important to continue just like you continue to breathe. You can please God at one point in your life and still not remain. I'm going to show you next week some people who started out absolutely in God's favor, but they blew it because they didn't stay there. And you know what? They lost their anointing. They lost their power. They lost their lives. They lost a lot of things. And we need to use these people as an example of what not to be like.